Hello and welcome to Base Creators video series, Success Through Lockdown. My name is Ian Scott, and each week I've been looking far and wide for some of the more unsung entrepreneurial superheroes who've weathered the lockdown and have been ready to share their ideas with me. Now, last time I spoke with Soily from Bilingual Potential about lockdown actually providing her with some unexpected but valuable research within her market. You can see that interview on the Base Creative website now. This week, I'm with Ilona from Miss Pomelo, a bra company, who has a truly inspirational story to share. After 4 years of product R&D, Ilona found an investor for a bra company. Then, just as she was about to sign, it was completely withdrawn. Let's find out how she bounced back to create something that outsold her hero product, and all without a penny of investment. So I'm joined with Ilona from Miss Pomelo. Ilona, how are you doing?
Hi, I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you very much. Trying to enjoy lockdown as much as possible. So Ilona, Miss Pomelo is a bra company, and you started this from coming out of banking 4 years ago. Just give us a bit of story about what's happened in those 4 years.
Correct. So Miss Pomelo is a bra company focused on fuller busts. The idea of the company was to bring out a good product to make women comfortable, happy, and confident. That's the story. I started this 4 years ago after a 15-year-old career in banking, on top of my mother's manufacturing capacity. So she was the one who inspired me to do that. She has been doing this her entire career, so I was confident I had a fantastic product. All I had to do was create marketing on top of it and brand it properly. And so for the first 2 years, I shifted my gears towards selling a product, which was very, very new to me, and understanding how it works and understanding more the audience that we had and getting the insight. And the next 2 years I spent trying to raise finance for the startup, because it had a grand vision of having quite, 2-3% market share in the next 3-5 years, adding technology to power it. And it was really a shift to a qualitatively new amount that the bra industry had never seen before, and neither had the consumer. So
great. So you've left what was probably a high paying banking job and to start and to realize your vision by starting the bra company. The last couple of years have been spent on getting investment, finding funding, and then lockdown hit, didn't it? So what happened then?
Well, mid-February, just when we started to get the news that there are some cases traveling from China to Europe and to the UK, things started to get a little jittery. And I mean, the lockdown didn't happen right away. It didn't happen overnight, right? We had a bit of warning. And it was the time when I was in the process of reviewing the sales purchase agreement with my investor, when I got a call. And I have a very long relationship with these guys. I've known them for 10 years because I've worked with them before. And they said, look, we need to take time to pause, because the landscape has changed so dramatically. It would not be a good decision for us to really jump into this now. And my life has really changed over the last 4 years. It's not the city job. It's starting a startup. It's very unglamorous. It's very involving. It's very heavy lifting. And the idea of having this company bring to a shape that I dreamed of really was a light in the end of the tunnel. And all of a sudden, that light was gone. And that was a bit of a difficult moment.
I'm sure, and probably not that uncommon. I can see, you know, how you feel about that and how that's affected you.
So
you
had emotional, sorry.
You had an investor lined up. You had an investor line ready to sign, February 2020, and they've pulled the deal completely.
But that, you know, life gives you lemons. You do lemonade with that. In a way, I put so much on hold during these 4 years that it kind of kept me hanging in there, because I would have just really dropped through this away a long time ago. I feel if this investment wasn't coming, And when everything has fallen through the cracks, in a way you feel a sense of liberation because there's nothing to hold you back. I don't know if it sounds good or anybody can relate to that, but I took a plane ticket to Latvia, where I am right now. That's where my manufacturer is. And I said, at least during COVID, I would like to stay in what you call a forest, because here density of population is very, very low, and the risk of contracting COVID is much lower. And so I will be close to the manufacturing base, where perhaps I can make a difference and really understand more about what happens in the factory and maybe bring out new products. The world is my oyster. So I needed a quiet time to lick my wounds, and I got on the plane and I went. So here I am.
Right. So, and I absolutely do agree with you in terms of the feeling of that. You're like, well, I have the feeling of, whether it's the truth is another thing, but the feeling that you have nothing else to lose gives you the power to, well, do anything, because, you know, the only way is up from that point, right?
Okay.
So you're in Latvia. You took a plane over to Latvia. You're still there now. But let's come back then to sort of what must be around March time. What was your thinking in terms of where Miss Pomelo should go from here?
Well, honestly, I mean, as a banker, and I covered banks, so if one bank would buy another or one bank would raise capital, I would be involved. The reading of economic news trickled down with me back in early February already. And I could see, I had absolutely no illusions about the outcome for consumers in any of the consumer market. It would be so disjointed for such a long time that I, even though we rolled out a spring collection, I decided not to go ahead with putting this up on the website or promoting this in any way. I just put this entirely on ice. And frankly, being so close to the manufacturer that my mother is, my concern has become preservation of her continuity, because in the absence of orders, manufacturing machine is an expensive asset to feed. Yes. And so what can we do going into survival mode to really keep that continuity going? And this is a textiles hub for the Baltics, and there are other enterprises that are in the same situation. People are very resourceful, so they started making masks. Very different masks, maybe simplistic masks. Some of them would go to NATO contracts. But I looked at that and I thought, okay, well, maybe that's an idea. I didn't quite like the look of them. But the more I read the news and the more I realized how severe is the shortage of protective equipment, not just in the medical field, but all over the place, my first idea actually was, why don't we make a very decent PPE and offer it to medical institutions? Because in the absence of having any PPE, this is going to be the next port of call. So that was the design and idea that I approached this with. And it changed quite a lot because situation evolved day by day. It was very much touch and go. And the way it happened is I saw the design on a friend who put up her picture on Instagram. It was a wonderful biker style mask. And I thought, that looks attractive. Unlike everything else I saw to that date, that looks attractive. So I spoke with her. I got our designer to work with her to understand how it's made, what are the details. And we replicated the overall design and equipped it with PPE features that were relevant for COVID. And God knows, I had to read back to history of the equipment, protective equipment creation back to World War I, when actually the chemical weapons were released and it became relevant, and see how can we, out of everyday materials, create something that actually is going to work. So it was a lot of research, a lot of R&D that went into that, a lot of probing and testing and trying and making sure that we create the product that will be viable, not just something called a mask, but actually really viable and really working. So that's a short story.
So, and that was back in March, and from my memory of March, from recording the interview, it's early July. My memory of March is a lot of uncertainty. It would only just been a couple of weeks in lockdown here in the UK. Did you get any pushback about those? Maybe you'd seen the creating masks felt a little bit opportunistic.
Well, To be honest with you, when we started the brand was all about empowering women with good product and good knowledge. And I felt that through the thick and thin, what's important, what's paramount, is preservation of reputation of the brand. And in a time of complete collapse, where you don't know what's happening tomorrow, one thing I could offer is create something that was needed by everybody and wasn't available. And surely I would not create it at exorbitant prices. I have looked at where the masks were selling, and you know, given its reusable, multi-use, extremely high quality mask, I priced it at the level where it probably would be in line with everybody else. The price was £7, which is, everybody would say it's a bargain at the moment. But given where the quality is, nobody could fault me for being a profiteer or a scalper for any sort. So no, I didn't get the pushback. Quite opposite, people were happy that as a bra company, they could trust me to create something that would be a quality product of known value, of known after sales support, customer service, etc., etc.
Okay. So tell me about the sales then. So this is end of March and we're into April. Probably good to give that context as well. Where were your expectations? What were you hoping would be the kind of either revenue or number of orders that you would be getting through?
Well, I should probably start with the context of what happened with my main product. It just dried out completely. You know, nobody would buy any bras. I do lie. We had probably two or three bras that we sold for the last 3 months. We also do medical range, mastectomy style bras, and they sell without the change. So that's counter-cyclical. But with masks, I was very careful. It was a lot of touch and go for me. We created the product and I was hoping that this would work. But if it didn't work, I would not be surprised. So essentially my expectations were extremely low. You know, if we sold 5 masks or 10 masks to start with, that would be already good. And so we took it as a very lean startup idea. We started with a couple of prints. You know, one was this beautiful stars on white background. Another one was the Superman in London print, like right in the middle of your face. And I guess it was a novelty. It was absolute shortage of masks as well. I guess it was familiarity with us as a maker and comfort in the quality of what we make. But we essentially sold out within 3, 4, 5 days. Like everything was gone. And then the question has become, okay, what do we do with that? Do we create more prints? Do we create more sizes? Do we market differently? You know, what happens next? But lo and behold, probably April was our starting month, where we were selling maybe, I don't know, 50 masks a day. But when it came to May, it was the height of the crisis, and I would find myself packing maybe 30 orders to 50 orders every day. Mm-hmm. Each of them containing 2 to 5 to 10 to 12 masks, depending. And my problem has become processing new orders. So I had to really find a person who I could outsource this with.
Great. So that's showing huge success. If your expectations are around sort of 5, and then you're getting, you know, 50, 100 on a daily basis. What would you put that down to? First off, how do people know you are selling masks and not just bras? What platforms or medium were you telling both, I assume, existing customers, but new audiences about this?
Well, I think a good place to start, and that's where I start with, is people who already know us, because it's a warm relationship, and there are no surprises in the quantity or quality of what they can receive. And so my first protocol was sending out newsletter to our existing clients saying, look, we need masks because this is what the world needs the most right now. And we got very healthy interest from there. And in our newsletter, there are actual customers who bought bras before, and they were what I call suspects, people who were interested and they would order fit kits to try the materials, to measure their sizes, but they never ordered. And it's this group that really surprised me, because a lot of these were American ladies who would just order scores of 30 every day. And then they would tell all their sisters or families, and I would receive daily orders from California out of all places for 20, 30 masks per order. They were depleting all my reserves really, really quickly. I have to say thank you for all the relationships that we have built as a brand with influencers, small scale influencers, models, plus size models that we knew, just ladies that we knew, because they would post pictures of themselves. They would tell a story of how they use the mask, how they find this helpful, what were good things, what were not so good things, but primarily positives. And I think the great thing with the masks that it's such a much needed product. People see it on other people's faces. They will ask, what is it? And you know, it makes my day to receive to this day photos from New York or from California saying, look, I'm doing this and I'm wearing the mask and it's extremely helpful. And it really keeps me sane when I go out on the tube. It is a fantastic feeling.
Are you encouraging people to do that? Why are they doing that?
I am encouraging that because even when we started the business, selling the bra takes a relationship. If anything, it's not the sales business, it's a relationship business. You need to allow somebody really close. So I keep that distance quite close in the sense that I ask them, how is it going? How do they like wearing the mask? What is good? What would they advise me to change? Some come up with letters saying, look, you know, this is what I think needs to be done better. And it's on the back of that trust and warmth and really, we pride ourselves on super service. What I call is after sales support. I'm always interested in how they're doing. And I guess people are good natured. They love to be helpful and to promote and to support. And even though some friends said to me early on, they said, look, we want to help you. We want to support you. This is why we bought the masks. But then they started to really go over and beyond in their support. And one of my contacts, she's amazing. She's a runner. So she dropped this mask in her discussion group with other runners because runners and bikers are mandated to wear the masks even when they run in the park. So she said, I went for a trial run, 5K. And these are my impressions of running with your mask. Of course, it's no mean feat to run with the mask, but it's actually quite doable and I love it. And that is a long way to go to carry that love. And we hugely appreciate that. If it hasn't been for that, it wouldn't be the same.
So a great product has led to some great PR, great customer testimonials, but also, you know, I think you're right to mention the warm natured relationship you have with customers that makes them, I suppose, makes maybe is the wrong word, but encourages them to talk highly of it because they're behind what Miss Pamela now stands for. It makes an interesting segue. What's the future then for Miss Pamela? Are you going to stop creating and selling bras and, you know, that 4 years of R&D that you've done and focus more on face masks, or is there a different future out there for you?
That's a great question. I think as a banker, as a business person, I would need to take a stance that I think consumer story stands, right? There still is a huge gap of good bras in the market, and there is a need for a brand that stands for empowerment, that stands for high quality, great after-sales support, and technology. I will revisit that with the investors, you know, once we're out of the woods a little bit. But I think what this experience gave me is the confidence to trust my gut feeling and really raise above the, you know, like this tense state of uncertainty, to engage the group of people who I can use as sounding board, people who have had a lot of experience, people who can help me think creatively to come up with the next opportunity that will be solving the challenge that our audience has next, you know. And I think everybody will agree with COVID progressing and everybody not being sure what's going to happen tomorrow, we all can tell there's going to be a need for more products and more PPE and more whatnot that the future will bring. And I am extremely grateful to this experience for the fact that it has given me confidence to try a new product and market and approach this differently and see how it goes day by day to apply exactly the same strategy in the future.
So that sounds like the advice you might give yourself if you were to go back 4 months and sort of meet up with your previous self there. Would that be the case?
It would be the case. And the other thing that would be the case is I'd say do not be afraid of anything, because this strain puts a paralysis in our ability to do anything. We're so afraid. And really, what's the worst that can happen? It doesn't sound very positive, but I guess do not be afraid is my advice to myself, because I am guilty of that completely.
Great. If people want to find out more about Miss Pomelo and indeed the face masks, how can they do that?
They can go to our website, which is misspomelo.com. We're also active on social platforms, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube.
Brilliant.
And you can just key in Miss Pomelo bras, something will come up, or hashtag Miss Pomelo.
Just Google it.
Just Google it.
All right. Ilona, I appreciate your time today. Thank you very much for sharing your story.
Well, thank you for having me. It was a blast. Really, I enjoyed it.
Brilliant. And if you have a great story to share, I would love to find out. You can leave that in the comments, or you can write me a personal email. Ilona's details and my details are going to be on the screen in 2 seconds' time. Thanks very much for watching.